You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Here are the stories we're following today.
And we'll have more on the markets, John, in just a minute. But we begin with U.S.-China relations. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has just wrapped up 4 days of talks in China. For much of her trip, Yellen's been busy scolding China about what Washington views as excessive investment in manufacturing to make up for a troubled property sector and weak domestic demand. But at a news conference this morning, Yellen said relations between the U.S. and China are improving.
It's undeniable that the U.S.-China relationship is on a stronger footing today than this time last year.
Still, Secretary Yellen warned the U.S. would sanction China's banks and exporters if they help Russia in the war against Ukraine.
I reinforce that any banks that facilitate significant transactions that channel military or dual-use goods to Russia's defense industrial base expose themselves to the risk of U.S. sanctions.
And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen announced new talks will get underway next week with a meeting between two U.S.-China working groups in Washington.
And sticking with geopolitics, crude oil is declining as we start a new trading week. It's off a five-month high after Israel said it would remove some troops from Gaza. Israel did say the forces would recuperate and prepare for future operations, including an offensive on Rafah. Checking oil right now, Brent, the international benchmark, down 69 cents a barrel, still above 90, 90.48 a barrel.
And John, as Israel apparently regroups in Gaza, one of President Biden's key allies in the Senate says the U.S. should not let up when it comes to weapons support. Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware made the case to Fox News Sunday host Martha McCallum.
It's important that we continue to show strong support for the defense of Israel, that we continue to support the Iron Dome and other ballistic missile defenses that we've jointly developed, and that we make it clear we will defend Israel against any Iranian proxy attack or any direct attack by Iran.
And Delaware Senator Chris Coons said he disagrees with House Democrats who have called for withholding weapons transfers until an investigation is complete into the airstrike that killed seven World Central Kitchen aid workers in Gaza.
And back here in the U.S., the day of the total eclipse of the sun is finally here. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports it certainly caught the nation's attention.
The several minutes of daytime darkness will follow a path up through Mexico, the U.S., and into Canada, depending on where you are, 3 to 4 minutes. For some, an economic bonanza. And one of those places, the northeast of the U.S., New York Governor Kathy Hochul says, along with all the glory, though,
we are warning everyone, the roads can only handle so much. And we're expecting a high volume of traffic before and after the event.
And of course, the perfunctory warning by now, don't look at the sun without the correct protection. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio.
I guess it always bears repeating. Thank you, Ed. Now we turn to the markets and the economy. Investors are preparing for a busy week that includes inflation data and the start of the first quarter earnings season. Last Friday's jobs numbers exceeded expectations for a fifth straight month, reinforcing the Fed's view of being patient about easing interest rates. Here's Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin.
When the economy is as strong as it is, it's hard to feel urgency on taking rates down. Are you going to see a dramatic weakening in the economy, as I've suggested the demand pessimists might see? Or are you going to see strength, 353,000 jobs a month, like we apparently saw last month?
Richmond Fed Chief Thomas Barkin's patient stance on rate cuts was echoed by several more Fed officials last week.
And former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers says the surge in March payrolls illustrates that the Fed is well off in its estimate of where the neutral interest rate is. He's cautioning against any move to lower rates in June.
Saying we don't need to know what the neutral rate is like saying you should drive your car on feel without looking at the speedometer. It is just a mistake. There's no way to judge what policy is without knowing what would be a neutral policy.
Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers adding that the right thing to do is, quote, stick where we are for considerably longer. Hear his full conversation with David Westin on the Bloomberg Wall Street podcast. That's available on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
And definitely got to listen to the Wall Street Week podcast, John. Turning to company news, earnings season kicks off this week with financials. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Friday, it's J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo. The reports come as U.S. stocks trade near records. Mona Mahajan is senior investment strategist at Edward Jones.
Broadly, our call on market leadership broadening beyond large cap technology here in the U.S. is driven by the fundamentals around earnings growth. We think will broaden this year beyond just, you know, the large cap technology or growth parts of the market.
Also this week, we hear from Delta Airlines, Fastenal, and Constellation Brands. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, thanks, Charlie. And turning overseas to Asia to our exclusive conversation with HSBC CEO Noel Quinn. Quinn's hosting the bank's three-day inaugural Global Investment Summit in Hong Kong. Despite a slowdown and continued economic concern in China, Quinn tells Bloomberg that he sees opportunity in the mainland and the broader region.
We've got a really strong wealth management business here in Hong Kong. I want an equally strong wealth management capability in mainland China, in Singapore for ASEAN, and in India. And what I really want is a platform of four strong pillars of wealth management. And in wealth management, I include insurance, asset management, private banking. And therefore, our acquisitions have been tended to be acquiring product or distribution capability in those markets.
HSBC CEO Noel Quinn also tells Bloomberg the bank continues to perform extremely well across several areas as it readies to report first quarter earnings later this month. And that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. Time now for a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. A scare aboard a Southwest Airlines jet taking off from Denver. Part of the engine cover ripped off Southwest Flight 3695. The Houston-bound flight with 143 people on board was forced to make an emergency landing yesterday. It was diverted back to Denver International Airport just after takeoff. Pilot Steve Ganyard spoke to ABC.
These lightweight aluminum coverings that you see are essentially like the hood of your car. They allow mechanics to open up the area around the engine itself for it to inspect it and to do maintenance on it.
The FAA is investigating the incident. President Joe Biden's alternative student debt relief plan could forgive loans for as many as 26 million Americans. The far-reaching initiative will likely be tested by the same challenges in his original program struck down by the Supreme Court. The measures would apply to borrowers who meet certain criteria, including people whose debt exceeds their original principal amount and those who qualify for federal programs but have not been enrolled. Former President Donald Trump says he will finally announce today when he will announce on abortions and when they should be banned. The announcement comes as Republican-led states have ushered in a wave of new restrictions following the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade in 2022. Meanwhile, campaign filings indicate former President Trump is still far behind President Biden in overall fundraising, but Trump got a big boost over the weekend at a Palm Beach fundraiser. A campaign official says a group of ultra-wealthy donors helped Trump rake in a whopping $50 million from this event. New York Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer says he has sent a letter to the heads of Capital One and Discover with questions about a proposed merger that would create the country's largest credit card company. Senator Schumer warned the merger could reduce competition and mean higher interest rates and bigger fees for tens of millions of credit card customers.
This would be the largest credit card merger on record. And usually, when there's consolidation, the consumer pays the price.
Senator Schumer says lawmakers want to know about the potential increase in fees and what it means for the marketplace. Global News, 24 hours a day and whenever you want it, with Bloomberg News Now. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum, powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
And time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And for that, good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, John. Some stunning news from college basketball. Just as UConn and Purdue get set to play for the national championship tonight in Phoenix, John Calipari said to be finalizing a deal to leave his job as the coach at Kentucky to take over at Arkansas. Calipari is 65. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's been at Kentucky since 2009, built a powerhouse there, although they haven't had nearly that much success in recent years. His team just lost in the NCAA's first round at Arkansas. He'll replace Eric Musselman, who just left to take over at USC. Calipari is said to be close with John Tyson, a billionaire Arkansas booster. In women's basketball, Caitlin Clark was the season's top player, but South Carolina was always the best team, and the Gamecocks capped a 38-0 season, beating Clark and Iowa in the championship game in Cleveland, 87-75. In the final game of Clark's brilliant career, she scored 30 points.
Yeah, I'm sad we lost this game, but I'm also so proud of myself. I'm so proud of my teammates. I'm so proud of this program. There's a lot to be proud of, but, you know, there's going to be tears. It is sad that this is all over, and this is the last time I'm going to put on an Iowa jersey.
Next up, the WNBA for her. Sunday wins for the Mets, Yankees, Knicks, and Rangers. The Mets 3-1 at Cincinnati. Sean Manaea and four relievers teamed on a three-hitter. The Yankees rode a Giancarlo Stanton third-inning grand slam to an 8-3 win at the stadium over Toronto. Yanks are now 8-2. Knicks in Milwaukee trailed by 11 at halftime, came back, beat the Bucks 122-109. Jalen Brunson scored 43. Rangers at the Garden, a four-goal third period, a 5-2 win over Montreal with four games to go. Rangers have a three-point lead as they try to finish with the NHL's best regular season record. Devils lost to Nashville 3-2. The Nets lost at home to Sacramento by 30. Celtics beat Portland. The Warriors beat the Jazz. The Wizards lost. The Capitals lost in overtime to Ottawa. Nationals and Giants both won. The Red Sox beat the Angels 12-2. They went 7-3 on their season opening road trip. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John, Nathan.
All right. Thanks a lot, John. And futures indicate a higher, lower open on Wall Street. Dow futures down 26. S&P mini futures 6 points lower. The NASDAQ futures down 14.
Coast to coast on Bloomberg Radio, nationwide on Sirius XM, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and the Bloomberg Business app. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. We are seeing some modest losses in equity futures this morning at the start of a very busy week, including more inflation data, the start of first quarter earnings season, and a rate decision from the European Central Bank this week. Let's get you set for the trading week ahead. We are joined by Dennis Gartman, the chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee and the former publisher of the Gartman Letter. Dennis, it seems like we just keep pushing back bets on what the Fed is going to do with interest rates this year, particularly after last Friday's once again hot jobs report. Where do you see this market going?
I have been modestly bearish, let's call it neutral to slightly bearish, of stocks for quite some period of time, being surprised by the strength that we've seen in the equities market for a while. I thought it was almost comically laughable that it was a month ago that the consensus was we'd have 4 to 5 cuts in the overnight Fed funds rate. Now we're down to 1 or 2 cuts in the overnight Fed funds rate. I think soon we'll be down to 0 to 1 cut in the overnight Fed funds rate by the end of the year. Time shall tell, but stocks have I think, acted a bit heavy in the course of the past 3 or 4 or 5 days. The decline that we saw on Thursday was, I think, rather deleterious to the technical formations on the charts. So I have been call it quietly bearish of stocks for a while. I've been overtly and manifestly bullish of the gold market, which has made new highs and has acted demonstrably stronger. So I've been bearish of stocks and bullish of gold, and for the past several weeks, that's actually been a winning operation.
Being bullish on gold certainly has been a winning bet for the last couple of weeks here. I mean, how do you explain this run that we've seen in gold? I mean, it's been trading in record territory.
It is in record territory. It's made new highs this morning. And I blame, for lack of a better term, I blame the strength upon on gold and to central bank buying. We've seen a lot of central bank buying, especially by the Chinese, over the course of the past several months, and that's begun to take its toll. The public is now becoming a little bit involved in the market, not dramatically so. It was a little disconcerting to me to see the public buying gold at Costco and buying bars at Costco. That's usually a sign when the public's in that we've run as far as we're going to take any market. But I think we've still got a little ways to go. It's been central bank buying thus far, and expectations that inflation has not been beaten back, that inflationary pressures are still extant. And we saw that with the jobs report on Friday. And the increase in non-farm payrolls and the rather substantive strength in the earnings. So it's been central bank buying, I think it has far more to go.
Dennis, we've also been seeing a pretty strong run in the oil market as well. Yes. How much does geopolitics play into the market outlook? We got about a minute left.
First of all, I've been very bullish of gold or of crude oil until about 3 or 4 days ago, when the term structure began to change. Normally, in a bull market in crude oil, on up days and down days, the front month gains upon the second, third, fourth, and fifth contracts going back. The backwardation widens, and what we've seen is as the market has gone higher, the backwardation has begun to narrow, which I think is disconcerting. So I was quite bullish of crude oil, and now I'm neutral to slightly bearish of crude oil. We'll see how the term structure functions, but it's been a geopolitical circumstance that has driven crude oil prices up, and I think a lessening of problems in the Middle East will put crude oil prices back down. So I have been bullish on crude. Now I'm bearish, modestly so, not dramatically so, because of the change in the term structure, which has always been a leading indicator in the crude oil market.
All right. Well, we'll see where commodities and risk assets go as we make our way through this week. Thank you, Dennis, as always. Dennis Gartman there with us this morning, the chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee and the former publisher of the Gartman Letter. This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed by 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.